it's slowly moving out there as the markets have stabilized, but it does take a while, and I think that probably after the events of the last couple of years, a lot more people are going to remain cautious for a longer period of time.
Well, in fact, I even saw the Wall Street Journal had a story this morning that even pension holders, you know, these big companies that decide these things for pensions are deciding, hey, stocks a little too volatile for us, had our fingers burned, we're going to stick with bonds or something that's a little bit safer.
That's right, and you certainly can't blame the little guy if he's
no.
doing the same thing as the big guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So outside of that, the C fund, and that's the next biggest one in terms of what people actually use.
That's right, yeah, and a lot of that, some of it, I think, goes back to the fact that the C fund was one of our original market funds, the C and the F. One was a large stock, the other is the bond fund, and then there's the government bond fund, the G fund. Those were our three original funds. So for all of the people who have been in for a long time, some of them have just put their money there and left it and let it ride. Other newer funds, the S and the I funds, which were started in, I think, was it the late 90s or early aughts? I'm losing track of it now.
Yeah, me too.
But they are pulling up the tail here with $18 billion and $17 billion, respectively. Certainly very good showings of interest, and they have been well received by participants, but they don't come close to the $61 billion in the C fund or the $116 billion in the G fund. The fund, by the way, at $264 billion is, again, at an all-time high. And that performance that we've been seeing in recent months in all of the funds has continued into October.
And, in fact, another page, and we'll have these documents so people can dig through them for themselves on federalnewsradio.com. One is the participation rates. And the participation rate fairly constant in the mid to upper 80s, but has actually dropped off a little bit from early 99 in terms of the first participation rate.
It has, and the reason for that, certainly in the past year, is remember we moved from a 6 to 12 month waiting period to immediate employer contributions. So all of those new numbers of newly hired people were put into the denominator, but we're not yet in the numerator.
Right.
Now, one of the ways you address that is by putting in, as we did beginning in August, automatic enrollment, which will automatically put people in a situation where they're the new FERS hires, at any rate, where 3% will be withheld from their paycheck. That 3% drives a 3% matching contribution. When added to the 1%, it picks up 4% in government contributions, and then it's invested in the G fund. And so in this package of documents, which I've sent you and you said you're going to put up, we have the initial results from that automatic enrollment initiative that began in August, and we now have numbers for August and September.
And I imagine so the 2010 numbers and certainly the 2011 numbers, which will all include the folks who are automatically enrolled, probably show a much higher participation rate.
That's right. We expect it's going to be a slow but steady increase in that participation rate back up to the high 80s or even low 90s. Remember, we just had a fairly large group of new hires who it took at least 6 months before they would sign up. And then people, you know, do what they do. They put it off. They're relaxed about it. They may not realize they're leaving that matching money on the table right off the bat. So this makes sure that they understand that. And the numbers, I think, are pretty impressive for August and September. August was a partial month because the pay period had to start after August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, pay periods are spread all over the place in government. September is indeed a full month, and what those numbers show are that 18,230 participants were automatically enrolled under the rules that I just mentioned, where they're signed up at 3%, pick up 4% from the government, and the whole thing is invested in the G fund. In addition to that, we had 5,400 people who just signed up on their own right away. So that's a good thing. We would have had those people anyway, even if we had not had automatic enrollment, but they got in right away. And then the other large number is we have 7,000 who were automatically enrolled, but who then did not stick with the automatic enrollment structure. They said, okay, well, you've put me in at 3. I really want to put in 5 and pick up the whole match. And you put me in the G fund. That was fine for a couple of weeks. But now I want to do an interfund transfer and do an asset allocation. So my future contributions go into, say, an L fund or a CS or I fund.
And remind people of the match, because we were earlier talking about the Washington Post thing that people say they get. This is a wonderful benefit that you get.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, it is. First of all, this is for FERS employees only. CSRS and Uniform Services folks do not qualify for matching contributions. But for FERS folks, initially there's what's called the Employer Automatic 1% Contribution. That's where your agency puts in a contribution to your account that's equal to 1% of your basic pay, and that gets you going. Then if you put in your own money, any contributions you put in up to 3% of your basic pay are matched dollar for dollar. And after that, if you put in the 4th and the 5th percent of pay, that's matched 50 cents on the dollar. So when you put it all together, if you put in 5, your agency puts in 5. And you can continue to make contributions on top of the 5% number as well. You can contribute all the way up to $16,500 this year in regular contributions and $5,500 in catch-up contributions for those who are age 50 and older.
The other thing that's in here, and the numbers are really all over, but military uniform services, the participation rate much lower than in amongst the FERS folks.
That's right. It is. Now, remember, the military folks were just allowed to contribute beginning in 2002. So it's a much newer program there. And those folks do not receive the matching contribution. So it's not an integral part of their retirement program as it is for FERS people. What it is an add-on, the way it is for CSRS. Even within those numbers for the uniformed services, however, there is one star, and that's the Department of Navy. They're up there around 60% among their sailors right now. So they are certainly leading the pack among the services.
Yeah, and when you see that, and the Navy is just this number that stands out. It's almost, 57%. Why?
Well, I think the Navy has really gotten behind the program.
Wow.
They were one of the services that were pushing for it in the beginning. There was a great interest in it. Now, I've also heard from some people that when you're shipboard, there's no place to take a walk to get away.
You're in that sub, and where are you going to go?
That's right, and you're looking for things to do and learn about, and they do have closed-circuit TV, and they run our videos about the TSA. And the benefits of participation. So all of that together and probably a few more things have worked to put the Navy in the lead.